Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today's guest is Dara Glavin. Dara is the first-year coach of Wichita State's men's tennis. Shockers are getting started this week. They competed unattached last weekend here in Wichita, but they will be sending teams to the SMU Fall Invitational and to Drake to get the fall schedule started. Dara spent the previous two seasons at the University of Miami in Florida as an assistant coach. He played at Old Dominion, also worked as an assistant at Princeton and Delaware. So, Dara, you grew up in Ireland. Tell us your sports background. You played soccer. You'd played tennis. How did that unfold for you as a youngster?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I grew up in Ireland, came to America for college. And, my sports background was always just soccer, tennis. Was lucky enough to get introduced to the sport of tennis at a young age. And just grew a passion for it and just fell in love with the sport. And I just played properly from the age of like 10-11, just really got into it and played a lot, and fell in love with the sport, and it just took off from there and ended up coming to the States for college, and I got into it a lot, and I just love the sport.
What position did you play in soccer?
I was a left back, so I was always a bit bigger. As a younger guy, I was taller, stronger than 12-13 year olds, so I played left back, and I liked to run up and down the wing a little bit. Had a good throw from tennis, so I take the throws, and I was got to an age at like 13-14, had to really decide between soccer and tennis. Competitions were on the same days, practices the same days, so had to decide. My brother was better at, as we call it back home, it's football, so he was much better than me, and decided I wanted to do something for myself and be better. So then I went and got really into tennis even more than from 13-14 onwards.
International soccer, the Premier League, has become so big here in the United States, over the last 10 or 15 years. Do you follow that really closely? Do you have a team in that that area?
I don't watch it as much as I would like to. It's early on the weekends. I got two young kids, so I don't get much time to watch it. But when I get home, especially at Christmas time, I get to catch up a little bit and watch the games then. But not as much. My team is Man United. My brother is a big Man United fan, so he kind of maybe convert over to United fan at a young age, and so they haven't had the best of success the last couple of years, so I think maybe because of that too I haven't followed it as much.
So compare growing up as a youngster in athletics in Ireland to what you know of the American system of developing and moving kids along. How's it different?
It's a lot different. I think in Ireland we just don't have the resources and the facilities that we have here in America. Just going to universities, when we travel as teams, I'm still amazed every week. And I tell recruits I'm talking on all the time, especially international recruits, like how just crazy the facilities and resources we have available at university level here. And even in high school level in America, in Ireland, even in the professional sports, we have two main stadiums that, are smaller than what a lot of universities have here. So just seeing the resources and the facilities here, I'm still amazed every time I go places and see what we have. Obviously, the weather in Ireland doesn't help. So in a sport like tennis, not having as many indoor courts as are needed, developing players is a lot more challenging. So I think here we have a lot more indoors, and the resources, like I said, like indoor courts is just huge. We play on a surface for rain in Ireland. It's called AstroTurf. It's kind of like fake grass, artificial grass, like kind of what field hockey plays on here. It's got sand, so you can play through the rain and stuff. So it's not the best for, developing tennis technique and point construction and stuff like that. So that's a big challenge that people in Ireland go through in the sport of tennis. So I think, here you have so many academies and different, so many more coaches and clubs, indoors, outdoors, different programs, and a lot more coaching. And I think just here it's also a lot more expensive though to be part of a sport like tennis. It's also expensive in Ireland, but here it's a big cost. So I think it's a challenge in both countries, I think, to find the best talent and find players that you can develop and get to a college professional level. So it's challenging in both, but here there's definitely a lot more opportunity, I feel.
Did you have a tennis role model, a favorite tennis player that you grew up following?
The first that I can remember would be Andre Agassi. Kind of got at the end of his career, I really got got to see him at the end of his career, and then reading his book and stuff too, just really made me kind of go back and look at some of his matches and stuff. And then I guess Roger Federer, he's been my I guess as a younger player myself, he was the one that, you know, got to number one as I was really getting into tennis and just kind of dominated the sport. Then obviously you had like Nadal and Djokovic come in there too, and Murray, but Federer's been the one for me that over the last, I guess, 15 years that I've really followed and, you know, just looked up to and just been, I guess, amazed by the career he's had.
Have you been to Wimbledon to watch?
Yes, I have. I was there, what must have been in 2008 or 9, I think it was, so I was still pretty young, but yeah, I got to go to Wimbledon, and I've been to the French and the US Open, obviously, a few times here while I was working in Connecticut in the summers, so the only one I haven't been to is Australian, so on the bucket list to get to one day. But yeah, the Wimbledon is the tradition they have there and everything. It's a really cool experience to go to that.
That would be great.
Yeah.
One thing I think that's interesting when I write about international athletes, the system over there, in most cases, as far as I understand, is athletics and academics are not connected like they are in the United States, which is why a lot of these athletes come over here to golf, tennis, whatever they may do. Explain that a little bit. What's the lure of coming to the United States to play college tennis?
Yeah, I think like in most countries, America is really the only country where it combines both in most countries, and especially in Ireland, it's a choice you have to make. You know, you're going professional and that's it. You're going pro or you're going to college, and kind of giving up that I guess hope or chance to keep competing and playing at a high level. So for me, you know, I just loved competing and playing tennis and didn't want it to end after juniors. I was never good enough to think about going pro, but I still didn't want it to end at the age of 18. So finding out about college tennis, I think that was huge for me, and just, yeah, opened up so many doors for me in my future. And you know, it's really I could tell recruits all the time, just, I don't think you understand really what can be done. You can kind of train like you want to train, but you also have your classes and you're going to leave it a degree at the end of it. So, you know, you can use those 4 years to really develop and get better. And if it doesn't work out for you to go pro after, you're not at that level that you need to go pro, you at least have a degree still, but you're able to train like you wanted to and give it your all over those 4 years. So it's really just an unbelievable opportunity. And yeah, I think we see, especially in the sport of tennis, a lot of internationals are, you know, on teams, and they've started to utilize the opportunity that they can get and come to America and get their degree and still train and get better and use all the resources that are available.
So you played at Old Dominion.
Yep.
In Virginia. Had you ever been to the United States? Did you make a campus visit? How did that all unfold?
So I was in America once. I think I was 14. So in our like high school, you have kind of a gap year where you still go to school, but it's not like a stressful year. You're not learning as much. You're doing different things. We had a ski trip that we went to Boston and went out to New Hampshire skiing. So I did skiing there. That was my first time in the States. And then, I found out there was, I was playing league at home, men's league at like the age of 16, 17. One of the guys in the team, his cousin was from my club back home before I was there, and he was a coach at University of Memphis, Mark Finnegan. So he you know, got me in touch with coaches and with himself, and I ended up actually going to University of Memphis first as a spring starter. So I graduated. I'd been injured a lot before, so I was going to take a year off, and the NCAA changed the rules. You had to go within 6 months. So then I went to the University of Memphis, and then I wasn't making the lineup there, so we decided it was best for me to transfer and go somewhere where I could try to get more playing time, which is great because like Mark was very helpful in that and just honest with me. Like, so he helped me from that day to just find somewhere new, and ended up at ODU. They'd play them in the season, and he had seen it as a really good school and that they were a team on the rise, so he helped me kind of get in touch with the coaches there. And yeah, I ended up going then to ODU and had four great years there, so it was a good experience.
Coaching as a career, how did you land on that and enter into this profession?
Yeah, so I in the summers coached a lot in country clubs in Connecticut. So I did that, and I enjoyed it, but I knew I really wanted something with a team and competitive. You know, in my college career, I spent a lot of time on the sidelines injured. So it's kind of like a lot of time where I was talking to the coaches and kind of thinking like them a little bit and kind of seeing, you know, having conversations with my coaches and how they kind of the lens they look at it from. So I think, and someone had mentioned to me, like, I think it was my junior year, like, oh, I could see you being a college coach. And I think that kind of, you know, had me thinking all the time, like, oh, is this what I want to do? Like, I love being around a team, love being, you know, part of a competition and just competing with a team and being part of that. So after I graduated, I did 1 year working at ODU and like student athlete development and working with like international students and helping them kind of adapt their to like the new environment they were in. But I just missed, I was missing something. So I was at the US Open actually, and I saw Billy Pate, the head coach from Princeton. He was watching one of his former players playing, and I played one of his players in one of my fall tournaments a couple of years before. So I was like, oh, I wonder if he remembers me or not. And I was like, well, I won't I go up to him, like, see what opportunities are out there. And I just went up to him and introduced myself, and he remembered me, and we got chatting, exchanged numbers. And then I went off to ODU and worked the year and did what I was doing there. And March, April came, and I was just, I really want to get, I just want to coach. I want an opportunity. So let me reach out to him again. And I reached out to him and just asked if he knew of any coaches looking for volunteers or assistants or grad assistants the following year. And he was actually looking for a volunteer that himself that year. So on my way up to Connecticut, I stopped off, kind of interviewed with him and his assistant, Damien. And they offered me the job a couple of days later. And then I just worked there for 2 years and have been going at it since and haven't looked back.
So when you were out of tennis, did you miss the competition? Did you miss the camaraderie? What was absent that you wanted to get back to?
I think everything, yeah. And just like, I was around still at ODU, like the tennis team. I'd help out their matches and stuff and kind of on game day setup and whatnot just as much as I could. And I just missed, yeah, being part of a team and just, you know, like the winning, the losing, all of it. I just missed it and just realized, like, I love coaching too. And then at that level too, I just missed being part of a team and helping people develop and get better and put the work in. So, yeah, I definitely missed it. I knew that's what I wanted to do from then onwards.
So you mentioned Billy Pate, the coach at Princeton. He's been influential on your career. Mm-hmm. What did you learn from him? How has he helped get you to this point?
Yeah, he's just an amazing mentor. You know, there's so many coaches in college that he's helped mentor, has connections to. I think just knowing him and just being able to, you know, call him and ask for advice has just been very helpful. And I think like every job I've got, it's been, you know, through a conversation, I'd call him and ask for advice on it, or he'd know more about the program and everything and be able to say, yeah, this is a good step for you or not. So I think just being able to have someone like that that you can call up and, you know, if there's any issues or anything, like, hey, how have you dealt with this in the past? And, you know, just when I was around him and Damien for 2 years, just seeing how they run a top program was just very helpful for me and beneficial to be around that and see, you know, what works. So I think, yeah, I've been very lucky and fortunate to know him and get to work with him.
Coaching at Princeton seems like quite the opportunity just because it's Princeton and it's the Ivy League. What was it like being a part of that program and that school?
Yeah, no, obviously there's a lot of, you know, a lot comes with being at Princeton and everyone knows Princeton. So I think it was, very, very exciting 2 years I had there. You know, we had good teams. It's a lot different because the academics is very rigorous there. So, you know, being with the teams, you get like only so much time every day and the class schedule is a lot different. So learn a lot. I think, you know, you're recruiting a lot different there too to other schools. So it was just a lot different, but it was a really good experience and I had a great time there. And yeah, it was just to like say I got to work at a place like Princeton was every time I tell people back home, they're like, oh, you must be smart. But I was like, no, I don't go there. I just work there. So it was a lot of fun though and I had a great time there.
So take us back to the summer. You get hired at Wichita State. Yeah, you've got to move, pack, travel, do all these kind of things. You, your family, new team, new university. What are the first things you start to do to figure out, you know, you're evaluating your roster. What do I have? What do I need to do? Take us through maybe the first, you know, few weeks of being the Wichita State tennis coach.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind of a summer, I guess, because I was still in Miami and we had summer camps. And I was actually recruiting when I started my interview process. And then I came back over here and got the job. And then I'd go back to Miami, move everything, do camps, and then come here. And then, yeah, I was just straight into it, just trying to figure out, you know, where we are right now as a team, what are we looking for, what are we missing, and hire an assistant coach, and it was just, yeah, a lot going on, and just kind of seeing, you know, like you said, where are we at roster-wise. A couple of people had left throughout the summer before I got the job. And then I was just kind of rebuilding and seeing, you know, what new guys we have coming in, which has been great to now get to see everyone on campus and see where we're at. So, yeah, it was a lot going on, a lot of observing, and it's kind of getting to know how things are run and what needs to be done.
Are you able to watch video? Do you like doing that? Or do you really want to wait till you get them here and watch them practice? How do you think about that part of the process?
Yeah, for the guys like on the roster, it was more just, you know, let's get them here and get to work and kind of make up my own, you know, judgment and see where we're at and what needs to get better. So, yeah, we've had a good couple of weeks now of practice. And like you said, we had that one tournament last weekend. They got to compete unattached. We had a ITA UTR event here, which was great just to get the matches and see where we're at and what we need to do going forward. So it's been great.
You mentioned hiring an assistant coach, mm-hmm. Connor Bernard. Yeah. Hired him in August. What's the connection with him? How did you hire Connor?
Actually an ODU connection. Sergey, the head coach there, he was the assistant at ODU for a couple of years. The year I graduated, he got the assistant coach job. So I talked to him about just doing our schedule for this year, and he told me, you know, I have a great volunteer. If you're looking to hire your assistant, if you haven't hired yet, like, just let me know. I'll get you guys in touch. So just had some conversations with both Sergey and Connor, and just knew he'd be a good fit for what I was looking for. And yeah, he's been great so far. You know, we've been here a couple of weeks together and just getting to work every day. It's been great alongside him.
So you mentioned competed unattached last weekend. Many of the Shockers. You've got the two tournaments this weekend. What do you like about what you've seen so far this fall from the Shockers?
Yeah, I think we have a great group. You know, it's been fun to be around these guys, and you can tell they're close groups. I think, you know, they work hard. They're pushing each other to get better. You know, we've got good talent on the team, so it's just putting it all together. And I think, you know, talking about like tennis is a sport. You know, we have a young team, so. College tennis, you become a team, so it's, you know, really working on how can we become a better team. And obviously you're still competing individually, but it's all for the team at the end of the day. So it's, you know, just kind of getting that across and just working that into practices. And, you know, when they're playing, like, we're not individuals anymore, we're about more than just ourselves. So it's been a lot of fun just working hard. You know, they've been putting in the work, and yeah, excited to see how we can keep improving and get better. And not too much focused on the results right now. You know, the fall is the time just to work on some things and improve. So, no, it's been good, and the guys have been very receptive and doing a great job.
The team aspect of it is interesting. Yeah. And I know when I talk to international student athletes that come over here, they're not really familiar with that part of it, but many of them really grow to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. How do you go about teaching that or yeah. guiding them toward that team spirit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of internationals too, they play a lot of league tennis back home, so they do love the team aspect of it too. So I think just in practices, just compete, like doing team drills, team games, just kind of talking about it, explaining, like, you know, if you have a bad attitude, you're hurting this other person. If you throw your racket or whatever, it can affect, like in college tennis, you can give a point penalty to the other guy if your match is over. So just understanding your actions can have consequences down the team. So just talking about it and just letting them know, and, you know, trying to do what's best for the team always. And I think it's been good so far, so we'll keep working on it, and come springtime, that's when you want it to be at its best.
Describe your coaching philosophy.
Yeah, so for me, this is something I put a lot of time into, and we've been lucky. Our new AD has been awesome here, and had some people come in and just kind of talk to the head coaches recently. Jason Cummins from Horizon has been very helpful and has kind of sat down with me about it. So I think as a new head coach, you know, it's been something I'm putting time and effort into to just really be like, this is what I'm about. So I think for me, it's really about just investing time and building relationships, you know, to, as a tennis coach, to help people. You know, they're at a time in their lives where you can really help guide them. And I think just showing that you're investing your time in your players, and just building that relationship is huge. And then just hard work and discipline and holding each other accountable. So that's kind of how I do things. And hopefully my players will, you know, keep doing that. Right now they're doing it the right way, and we're going to keep doing it the right way.
So you're coming into a strong tennis conference. The mm-hmm. American had four teams in the NCAAs last season. Mm-hmm. You would have faced USF in the first round with Miami.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what are the challenges of playing tennis in this conference?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a conference where, so I just come from a Power 5 conference, and you could see this is a conference where we talk, you could see, I know a lot of teams were between like Power 6, and I definitely think, you know, like you said, we had how many teams again in the top four teams in the top 40. It just shows how, you know, deep college tennis is right now, and I think it's a conference where you know, we can be competitive, and if you got a, you know, if you're making runs at championship games, you're going to be going to the NCAAs. So I think it's great. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to be competing with the best and trying to win championships. So I think it's a conference where, yeah, we can get that tough competition every week. And, you know, we don't have a set season schedule, but we try to schedule as many conference teams as possible throughout the year. So when we get to conference, you know, we've kind of seen each other. We know what we need to do. So yeah, it's a tough conference. Excited to compete in it and see what we can do in it.
So college athletics is going through a big transition period. I think everybody's trying to figure it out, from the fans to the coaches, with transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. How do you, as a new head coach, begin to navigate that and make decisions?
Yeah, it's interesting times. I know I'm a young head coach, but I think even in my time, things have changed so much in my, you know, 10, 12 years in college athletics. So I think, yeah, just, you know, staying updated. I think we do a good job with compliance and everything, just kind of being trained and knowing what's going on and rules changing and everything. But just having the guys informed, the players informed, the student athletes knowing what's going on. We have partnered with Open and Doors at our university, so I think it's been great that they had trainings and stuff for staff and for the athletes already, so they kind of understand what they can and can't do and how they can go, how they, like, you know, they can get little jobs or whatever, little deals on the side. And as it, for us international guys, they cannot do things, so when they're in America, they can do it when they're at home. So I think just they're aware, you know, like, there's not really opportunity for them while they're here. So there's only a select few that we really have to focus on that can do it. It's definitely changing it. I think in the Power Five schools and the bigger sports, I think tennis, it's not there yet, but we'll see. You know, there's with all these different companies helping, and you just go to your phone and accept a deal or whatever. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that develops and over the next couple of years, and if, you know, people can really, you know, make money off of it. And I mean, if there's obviously some deals out there that are crazy, but I think if they can, you know, make some extra money by doing something, I'm all for it. You know, why not? If people are willing to pay and they're worth it, then why not?
So you're 29, so mm-hmm. you are very much or pretty close to this generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to be coaching people who are 22 or 23. Do you think that helps you with the adjustment to some of the changes mm-hmm. that are going on in college athletics?
Definitely, I think, yeah, because I understand, like, the social media stuff and all that. So, you know, a lot of our job is on social media with recruiting and everything. So I think it really helps, you know, just kind of understand when they're talking about things or if these changes are happening. I'm kind of aware and understand how they go about it, if it's a new app or this or that. You know, I kind of understand it, what they have to do, so, and everything that helps, and I can just have conversations with them about it and just see if they like, hey, I got this deal or did that. I have an idea. I'm not completely lost and just out of it. You know, maybe we wish I had this when I was in college, or I could have used it when I was back home or whatever. But I think it's pretty cool, and just helps them build a brand for themselves, and they can kind of start thinking business-like too from a young age. So I think it can really, you know, if they do it the right way, they can make something out of it.
I'm glad you brought up social media. I think that's an interesting part of recruiting, mm-hmm. and maybe not everybody is, you know, aware or understands its importance. How would you describe it? How much do you use the social
a
media?
A lot, yeah. I mean, when I was getting recruited, it was more like Facebook Messenger and like some WhatsApps. Now it's like Instagram, and, you know, you're trying to search people, send them messages, and hope they respond. And some respond, some don't. You know, adding friends on Facebook, and yeah, it's everything. You know, between myself and Connor, we're going at all avenues, and it's going to tournaments, getting WhatsApp numbers, staying in contact. So, yeah, it's definitely a big aspect. And, you know, you gotta also, you get to know a lot about people through their social media. So, you know, you're looking through how do they represent themselves, and, you know, if that's something you want to bring to your team. So it can really tell you a lot about people. So we do our homework that way too.
So if you are an athlete in Europe or South America, does social media really make it feel like you're more comfortable, more familiar because you've seen pictures, mm-hmm. you can talk to people, yeah. as it might have been 25 or 30 years ago. Is that a difference?
Yeah, definitely. I think you can learn a lot about them. You can kind of, you know, sometimes they'll have tennis videos on there. They get tagged in videos. You can kind of get to know more about their game. How are they training? So that's definitely something that I think it's a benefit for coaches. And I think, you know, before you'd have to travel and get to see them in person, now you kind of just go on a Zoom call or a FaceTime or whatever, and you can kind of get that face-to-face contact and conversation. So I think that's important and can really help build those relationships faster than in the past.
Last thing, and then I'll let you go. You mentioned your work at as a club professional earlier, and it's always interesting. You know, I think all the sports here have connections with the community, but I really think that's important in tennis with the tennis community, and Colin and Foster, the women's coach, and Danny Bryan, the previous men's coach, put a lot of time in that, whether it was through clinics or playing themselves, inviting people on campus, those kind of things. Why is that connection with the Wichita tennis community? Why is that important to this program?
Yeah, and I think that's something that's special here too. All the programs I've been part of in the past, there's been little bits of it, but here, you know, we have our Monday Night League that it was our big fundraiser in the start of the fall. And that's just something that Danny and Colin have done tremendous work in the previous years. And I've been lucky enough to kind of come into it, and it's already established. And now it's just, you know, keeping the relationships. You know, we've got some amazing donors and just people in this community that just love tennis and just love Wichita State Athletics. So being lucky enough, like, hit the ground running with that and just kind of getting to know people right away. And just, you know, the women play at the Wichita Country Club, you know, myself and Colin at a clinic there one night, just kind of get to know members and know people in the area. So I think that's very important. I think it makes, you know, the experience for the student athletes and they're playing games, you know, to have people out there supporting them. They already have kind of a relationship with them. They're, you know, people are there to actually support them. They know them by first name. They know them. Makes them more exciting. Makes that student athlete experience just more fun for the people involved.
Hi, this is Rick Neuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.